Dotto, on the reopening RI website, it says non-critical retail establishments can open on May 11th, but you just said in your press conference that they can open Saturday. So
yeah. I'm sorry. The website's wrong. It's Saturday, and we're fixing it right now.
Okay, thanks so much.
It's with phase one, you know?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's right.
Governor and Dr. Scott, Kathy Gregg here. Question. I'm starting to get phone calls and get press releases from people saying we should expose as many people as we can because that's the only way to build herd immunity. What is the response, the medical response, and the leadership response to that argument?
Medical response is that that is not the way we want to go right now. We are still learning about COVID-19 and the implications among people who get ill are too challenging, too concerning from a hospitalization standpoint and unfortunate mortality standpoint. So believe me, if that was a way that we thought would be helpful, it would have been something we've considered early on, but it is not one that we, not a direction that we want to go in. We want to stay focused on testing, identifying people, and stopping transmission.
Governor, this is Ian Donis. Besides speaking with all of us each day, you've done a lot of outside media appearances in the last 2 weeks with BBC, Freakonomics Radio, Greater Boston, and Apple Podcast. When you have so much to do in responding to the crisis, why are you doing these kinds of outside media appearances?
Two reasons. One, the national media has actually been incredibly helpful. When I went on Wolf Blitzer and said we desperately needed PPE, that very night I get a phone call from the CEO of a big diagnostic company, which then led us to get equipment. So it's been very purposeful. The same thing with Salesforce. I went on another thing and said we were really desperate to be a leader with contact tracing, and then the CEO of Salesforce reached out and said, we want to help you. Microsoft has given us over 1,000 computers. So, you know, I'm always out there swinging to advocate for Rhode Island, and I certainly turn away a lot more than I accept. You know, for every 10 opportunities, we say no to, actually for every 20, we say no to 19. But if I think there's going to be value for Rhode Island, either to highlight what we're doing or to get resources, or frankly to get a message to the White House, then I do it.
Governor, it's Dan Miguel from the Boston Globe. Can you characterize the conversation that you had with, that you and Dr. Alexander Scott had with Deborah Birx? Were you seeking her approval in any way to reopen, or what was that conversation about?
No, actually, mostly we were asking for supplies, and I can let Nicole go over that. We just try to stay in touch with her. We were saying we wanted to roll out for her our new, the SOS testing system that I went through yesterday, and just ask her, you know, what do you think? Is that right? What do you think in other states? Get her advice. By and large, she's very complimentary and supportive. We were then hoping she would say, what do you need? And then that provided Nicole a perfect opening to share all the supplies that we need. So it wasn't, you know, it was really just a touch base. And she was kind of supportive of what the testing we're doing. She recognized that our cases had fallen. She's been, I think I can say, and I don't want to speak for her, but like she's been worried about Rhode Island because, as she says, we're sandwiched between Boston and New York. And so she's had our eye on us because we're sandwiched between those two hotspots. And so we try to check in with her, I don't know, once a week. And then Nicole asked her for, maybe you can, you know, augment that.
Yeah, we have done a landscape of all of the testing platforms within the state, starting with the state health laboratories, and all of the testing supplies that would be was letting her know about that data and the welcoming of any assistance with getting the supplies needed.
Can I just ask one follow-up? Did she express any frustration with, or not frustration, any concern about reopening to you?
No. Dr. Bartholomew, wondering about smaller scale.
I know you kind of gave some of the. Governor, I know you explained some of the rationale to keeping the limit, the gathering limit to 5 people. Some people are asking, you know, even Massachusetts has 10 people, and you've previously indicated that some of these numbers might be a little arbitrary. If you could just say more about that, and then also, if I could, on the one person per 300 square feet for businesses, some people are saying that's awfully limiting, and how to come up with that number, and you shouldn't need that much space for one person.
Yeah. Listen, those are all very valid questions, and this is a judgment call as much as anything else. Massachusetts extended their stay-at-home order, and Connecticut extended their stay-at-home order. So I've chosen to be a bit more relaxed in lifting the stay-at-home order. We never closed manufacturing. We never closed golf courses. We never closed construction sites. They all did. Why the 5? Because I can't say, I hear from a lot of mayors who say it's a real challenge to keep the backyard barbecue, the front yard, and the big family and social gatherings. And they worried, and I agree with them, by the way, that if we allow 10 or a social gathering, all of a sudden you start to see family gatherings of 15 or 20, and that, I just don't think we're ready for that right now. So part of the take it slow, focus on work, wait and see how it goes approach. As for the 300, that is the number we're using for grocery stores when they have the senior hours. So it was felt that there was some logic to that, and it just, you know, again, it's not a science, and I don't expect retailers will be walking around every minute with their yardstick. It's just a guide to underscore the fact that we want folks to be 6 feet apart. It's a
Governor Tara Franahan, too,
Brooke,
and everyone, when I was saying, you know, we're getting to a phase where it is not going to be possible, nor do we want to be in the business of inspecting every retailer every moment to make sure they're perfectly complying with 300 square feet. It's like we are providing guidance. It's in your best interest to do your best to follow the rules, and we hope that you will.
Governor, I thought we would get a little bit more Tara Granahan, if I could jump in.
Bill, you were next, and then we'll do you, Tara.
Thank you.
Doctor, when it comes to smaller assisted living facilities, you know, that have maybe just 5-10 residents, are they required to reach out to you to be a participant in the testing program that you're launching, or are you eventually going to hit every assisted living facility in the state?
Our goal is to hit all of them, get to all of them in the state.
But as of right now, they feel that they may be susceptible for any reason, they need to reach out to you. This is, again, the smaller scale living facilities.
We are in constant communication, certainly if there is a case or of any kind in any of those facilities, we work that through with them. So the reach out is automatic.
Gotcha.
Tara Granahan, if I could. Hi, Governor, were we going to get some more information about what Monday looks like? I believe Josh Block told a lot of the media managers that you'll allow reporters in a room again. How would it work, and how does the 5-10 or 10-5 play into that?
Yeah, Tara, we'll be back to you hopefully later today. We're just working out the ends of the details, and we'll let the press know as soon as we can. It's going to be more than 5. We're trying to find a venue big enough.
Okay. Thank you. Governor, this is Kim Kalunian. Just seeking a little bit of clarification on the funerals and church service crowd limits. Does the 10 10 people at a funeral supersede the limit of 5 at a church service?
Yes. We had a lot of discussion as recently as this morning with more faith leaders, and in recognition of the uniqueness of a funeral, it can't be rescheduled. It's a very sad time, the whole thing. We felt we had to do something, so we went up to 10.
Thanks.
Do the people in those limits include the priest or whoever's leading the service? Or
no.
Only?
No, that's for the family and such.
Doctor, this is Michael Miller from Motif. Just to follow up on Kathy Gregg's question about herd immunity, your answer was very scientific and diplomatic, but could you speculate perhaps on what the effect of trying to relax everything and promote herd immunity would be? What I'm trying to ask is, in layman's terms, would this result in increased deaths, and is there an estimate of how many and how quickly?
Yeah, that's exactly why there would be significant concern with going that route. There, unfortunately, would be quite negative outcomes, including death, as we're continuing to learn about COVID-19. We certainly know that it happens in older folks with underlying conditions, but it's also happening in other populations. So it is not a direction we feel that would be safe to go in from a public health perspective. And we still don't know about immunity for coronavirus to be able to rely on that. We are still learning, as I've shared with the antibody test, whether or not having antibodies actually means that you cannot get COVID-19 again. It is not clear right now if that's the case.
Well, what I'm getting at is that obviously the people advocating for this herd immunity approach may not understand the consequences of it. I'm trying to basically ask you to put into very direct layman's terms what you think the consequences
are. It is not safe to do. It's not something we would recommend. We don't know enough about COVID-19. It would cause significant harm at a population level.
Thank you.
You mentioned elective procedures in some hospitals starting Monday. What about regular dental procedures or dental appointments that are not emergencies?
We have been working closely with the dental community and providing guidance that allows them to reopen in phases. It's something that we definitely encourage, similar to our other allied health professionals, and we want to make sure they have the infection control and other guidance approaches in place to be able to do it effectively.
Okay. We've got about a minute left.
Governor, we've heard from some folks who candidly are a little exhausted by the daily briefing and wondered if you see a point where you'll go down from 7 to, maybe weekdays or whatever you think is necessary. Have you considered yet when you'll be able to not do one 7 days a week?
Are you speaking to yourself, Sydney?
You know what? I will withhold comment, but we have heard it from people. Partly, people are doing the school stuff with their kids
I'm teasing. I'm tired too. Yes, I think probably next week we're gonna cut it down to 5.
Is there any science or data that the doctor or the governor may know about that made you hold back on not going to 10 people and stick with the 5?
It's not so much science as it is, look, we know that having a lot of people in close contact is a bad thing. So it's more about human behavior. We are, because we're going first in our region with lifting the stay-at-home order, we felt, and we haven't really seen, a decline in cases in any consistent way. We felt, yes, I'm anxious to get people back to work. We felt that the take it slow approach was appropriate, and one way to signal that and accomplish that was to keep the five at social gatherings where it was.
Do you fear there'll be any kind of pushback? Like, oh man, she said 10 and now it's 5. We're still going to go get together. Is there any kind of like a reverse psychology involved here?
You know, I don't. I don't know, right? Like, I've never done this before. We've never done this before. That's what I said. I'm just putting my faith and trust and confidence in the people of Rhode Island. We know that when people congregated over Passover and Easter, 2 weeks after that, we saw a spike in hospitalization. Like, that's a fact. We know that when people get together in larger gatherings, we see a spike in hospitalization. So I suppose if people want to break the rule and see more people in the hospital and see us move to phase two more slowly and see more people out of work, then they can break the rule. But I hope they don't.
Okay, thank you, everyone. That's all our time today. We'll be back tomorrow.